Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Wednesday, April 17th, is the feast of St. Robert of Molem, founder of the Cistercians. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis calls for the release of prisoners of war and condemns the use of torture. The Holy See calls for solidarity and urgent action to meet the humanitarian crisis in Ethiopia. And Myanmar's government transfers prisoners, including Aung San Suu Kyi, from jails to house arrest. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. At the General Audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis appealed for the release of prisoners of war and denounced the tortures many of them are subjected to. As Linda Bardoni reports, he also condemned torture as a horrible practice, describing it as a wound to human dignity.
Highlighting the plight of prisoners of war in conflict-stricken countries, Pope Francis prayed for their release. Our thoughts at this moment, the thoughts of all of us, go to the peoples at war, he said. We think of the Holy Land, of Palestine, of Israel. We think of Ukraine, tormented Ukraine, he continued. We think of the prisoners of war.
Palestina, Israel. Pensiamo all'Ucraina, alla martoriata Ucraina. Pensiamo ai prigionieri di guerra.
And raising an appeal for their liberation, the Pope said, "May the Lord move will so they may all be freed."
Che il Signore muova la volontà per liberarli tutti.
And adding to his appeal, the Holy Father had special thoughts for those prisoners who are subjected to torture.
Per coloro che sono torturati.
The torture of prisoners is a horrible thing. It is not human, he decried.
Non è umana.
We think of so many kinds of torture that wound the dignity of the person,
che feriscono la dignità della persona.
And of so many tortured people.
E a tanti torturati.
May the Lord, he concluded, help everyone and bless everyone. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In the Middle East, Qatar's prime minister said on Wednesday that talks on a Gaza ceasefire and a release of hostages are at a delicate phase. The ceasefire discussions, mediated by Qatar and Egypt, are continuing as a humanitarian crisis devastates Palestinians in Gaza with severe shortages of food, medicine, and hospital care. The United Nations appealed on Wednesday for $2.8 billion U.S. in funding to assist more than 3 million people in Gaza and the West Bank until the end of the year to help ease food shortages and prevent looming famine in the regions. Meanwhile, British Foreign Minister David Cameron, on a visit to Israel, says Israel has clearly decided to retaliate against Iran for missile and drone attacks. The starkest warning yet of another volley coming in regional escalation. World powers are striving to prevent a wider outbreak of conflict in the Middle East after Iran's attacks on Saturday night, which involved hundreds of missiles and drones, the first time Iran has directly attacked Israel after decades of confrontation by proxies. The Holy See is emphasizing the need for solidarity and urgent action in response to Ethiopia's ongoing humanitarian crisis. The Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations and other international organizations in Geneva highlighted the dire conditions of over 4.4 million internally displaced people and over 1 million refugees, conditions exacerbated by severe drought, malnutrition, and economic difficulties. Francesca Merlo has this report.
Expressing solidarity with Ethiopia, Archbishop Ettore Balestrero highlighted the plight of over 4.4 million internally displaced people and over 1 million refugees. At the high-level pledging event for the humanitarian situation in Ethiopia, Archbishop Balestrero spoke on behalf of the Holy See when he said that the meeting was an expression of solidarity with a country enduring a profound humanitarian crisis. He explained that Ethiopia is grappling with the consequences of conflict, disease outbreaks, and the fifth consecutive failed rainy season, resulting in the most severe drought conditions in decades. These catastrophic events, he explained, have led to increased malnutrition rates, affecting in particular 1 million children and numerous women. Pope Francis has emphasized the severity of the humanitarian crisis and the pressing need for solidarity with the affected populations. Reflecting his deep concern, Archbishop Ballesterero noted that the Holy See supports the appeals of the Ethiopian Episcopal Conference for immediate action and humanitarian aid and highly appreciates the convening of this high-level pledging event. The Catholic Church in Ethiopia, although a minority, plays a pivotal role in providing and distributing aid to populations affected by food insecurity and victims of other emergencies. Archbishop Ballesterero recalled that in 2023, the activities of the local Catholic churches benefited nearly 6 million people in 9 of the country's 12 regions, regardless of their religious affiliation. Concluding his discourse, Archbishop Ettore Ballesterero reiterated that today the Holy See is renewing its commitment. This is not out of obligation, he added, but rather a profound sense of shared humanity, religious duty, and moral obligation. Finally, he said, let us act quickly and provide unwavering support to ensure that we make every effort to bring security, stability, and peace through our collective response to the humanitarian needs of Ethiopia. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Myanmar's military junta has announced that jailed leader and Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi has been transferred from prison to house arrest. Lisa Zangarini has the latest.
Aung San Suu Kyi, now 78, is serving a 27-year prison term for a range of alleged crimes, including treason, bribery, and violations of the telecommunication law. She was arrested on February 1, 2021, when the military overthrew her government, claiming that her National League for Democracy party used widespread electoral fraud to win a landslide victory in the 2020 general election. No indication has been given on whether the latest move of the military junta is meant to be temporary or permanent. Over the past months, Suu Kyi's health has reportedly deteriorated. Her younger son, Kim Aris, has said in interviews that he had heard that his mother has been extremely ill and was unable to eat. The youngest daughter of assassinated General Aung San, father of the nation of modern-day Myanmar, Suu Kyi spent almost 15 years as a political prisoner under house arrest by previous military governments and played a vital role in the country's transition to partial democracy in the 2010s. Her tough stand against military rule turned her into a symbol of the non-violent struggle for democracy in Myanmar and won her the 1991 Nobel Peace Prize. However, during her first term as State Councillor of Myanmar after the first democratic elections in the country in 2015, she drew criticism from several countries and organizations over her government's inaction in response to the genocide of the Rohingya people and her refusal to acknowledge that the military had committed massacres. Suu Kyi's transfer comes as the army has been suffering a string of major defeats in its fight against pro-democracy resistance fighters and their allies in ethnic minority guerrilla forces who now control nearly all of Myanmar's borders. I am Lisa Zangarini.
Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the permanent observer of the Holy See to the United Nations, spoke on Tuesday at the 23rd session of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues in New York. Sister Francine Cooper tells us more.
In his statement on Tuesday, Archbishop Caccia expressed that the Holy See acknowledged the work of the Permanent Forum while continuing to offer some reflections on this year's priority theme. Noting the United Nations Declaration on Rights of Indigenous Peoples, the Archbishop described the importance of recognizing the role of Indigenous youth as present and future custodians of their culture. He explained that Pope Francis has encouraged Indigenous young people to preserve their cultures and roots by fighting exclusion, waste, and impoverishment in order to build a more just and humane world. The Vatican diplomat spoke further of the contribution Indigenous youth have to give in the cultural field. They can actively engage in safeguarding and revitalizing their cultural practices and contribute to the preserving of their community's distinct ways of life, which are integral to their right to self-determination, he said. Indigenous youth serve as bridges between generations, fostering intergenerational dialogue, understanding, and cooperation within their communities, the Archbishop added. They are also at the forefront in advocating for the protection of ancestral lands, natural resources, and ecosystems, which constitute a key component of Indigenous people's identity. The Archbishop encouraged dialogue with Indigenous people and further explained how dialogue and identity are not mutually exclusive. He urged states to promote a culture of encounter rather than a completely closed, ahistoric, static Indigenism that would reject any kind of blending. The Vatican diplomat concluded with the words of Pope Francis, who insists that God, the creator and father of all peoples and of everything that exists, calls us today to live out and bear witness to our human call to universal fraternity, freedom, justice, dialogue, reciprocal encounter, love and peace, and to avoid fueling hatred, resentment, division, violence and war. I'm Sister Francine Marie Cooper.
Finally, we return to this morning's journal audience, where Pope Francis, continuing his catechesis on vices and virtues, spoke about the virtue of temperance. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has this report.
La quarta e ultima virtù cardinale, la temperanza.
Our ability to master ourselves and moderate our passions can lead us toward true happiness. Pope Francis offered this reminder during his weekly general audience on Wednesday morning in St. Peter's Square. The Catechism describes the cardinal virtue of temperance as the moral virtue that moderates the attraction of pleasures and provides balance in the use of created goods. Temperance, the Pope suggested, is the virtue of the right measure. Faced with pleasures, the Pope said, the temperate person acts judiciously and enjoys moderately. For example, to appreciate a good wine, the Pope observed, is to take in small sips rather than drinking it all at once.
Per apprezzare un buon vino, assaporarlo a piccoli sorsi.
The temperate person, Pope Francis said, knows how to weigh words and doses them well. He does not allow a moment's anger to ruin relationships and friendships that can only be rebuilt with difficulty. Especially this is the case in the family, where inhibitions are lower, and where we all run the risk of not keeping tensions, irritations, and anger in check. The Holy Father acknowledged that the temperate person knows the time to speak and to be silent, both in the right measure.
Ma sempre nella giusta maniera.
The gift of the temperate person, the Holy Father said, is being balanced, which the Pope described as precious and rare. When everything in our hearts pushes us to excess, the Pope said, temperance combines well with gospel values. Pope Francis concluded by clarifying that temperance does not make one gray and joyless, but on the contrary, it lets one enjoy the goods of life better.
Non è vero che la temperanza rende grigi e privi di gioia. No, anzi.
I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to our technician, Gabriele Di Domenico, in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.